listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Wednesday, December 4th. I just want to give a shout out to my brother, whose birthday it is today. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We're going to somewhere in Malibu, I guess. So anything in Malibu is fun. So I will report about that if there's anything special going on. Today we have a very special guest joining us. His name is James Michael Cummings. James, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. And you are a filmmaker, actor. You do everything, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And your new film, Werewolves, is going to come out when? This Friday?
It comes out Friday the 6th in all theaters.
Sounds good. How long did it take to make the movie?
The writer Matthew Kennedy had written the screenplay, and he gave it to Miles. I'd say Miles Nistel Craig Chapman contacted me. I was on a television series called City on a Hill, mm-hmm. produced by Chuck McLean and Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, Jennifer Todd. And I was on that. It was season 2, episode 2. I had shot the episode, and then Craig Chapman, who was the producer, saw me. And he said, man, I got a movie for you.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. I go, who's in it? He goes, nobody. I'm like, oh, damn. I don't want to be in a low-budget movie, man. And he's like, no. I'm going to make a – this is going to be a great movie. He goes, my partner, Miles, found this movie, and Matthew Kennedy wrote it, and he loves this movie. Mm-hmm. So they had this other actor who was involved, who was cast. And we were going to make the movie with him, but at the time, they had me – you know, Johnny Drama used to train Mark Wahlberg and Donnie Wahlberg and Sugar Ray Leonard. Remember the show Entourage?
Yes.
Remember the Kevin Dillon character, Johnny Drama?
I never watched that show. I know
you
of the show.
I've only watched it a few times because it's about my friend. And, you know, it's about my friend's friend. So Johnny Drama trained Mark Wahlberg and got him in shape when he was a young kid.
Oh, really? Wow.
And then, you know, helped him get this fantastic routine, which together is, it's really their friendship that bonds them, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, but we've been friends for a long time. And so when Craig first said he wanted me to do this role, he's like, you know, I want you to get in really good shape. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, you got to talk to Miles about it. So I get on the phone with Miles. He's like, right. You know, I want you to be really scary, you know? And I'm like, I can do that. He's like, no. I want you to be physically scary. I'm like, okay. Like, what's this guy talking about? Hulk Hogan? You know what I mean? Like, so then I go, well, I'll get Johnny Drama to train me. And they're like, okay, great. So then I went to Plymouth, Massachusetts, and that was 2020.
Wow. How long did you train for?
Yeah, I trained for the first, with Johnny Drama, I trained for 6 months.
Wow.
But then that first actor, mm-hmm. I won't say his name, he fell out of the movie. Mm-hmm. He liked the movie, but he was getting sober. So he's changing his choices in movies he was going to make.
I see.
So that left in a void. And then what happened was Miles thought about Frank Grillo.
Oh, okay.
So he sent him the script. Frank read it, and he responded to the material.
Yeah.
And he got together with Miles, and he's like, I have to make this movie.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
So were you all, like, buffed up and everything after the...
You know, I put on, like, 20 pounds of muscle, you know?
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I weighed about... I weighed, like, 190, and I got up to, like, 210.
Oh, wow.
215.
That's interesting, you know, because... I mean, in 6 months, it's like, that's intensive workout, right?
Yeah.
That you went through.
Well, no, then I came out to California. So my business partner, who is my production partner for Monty the Dog, is Len Foley and Seamus Fitzgerald. But Len Foley, he runs Longevity Now, which is there's a coffee house out in Westlake Village. But he branded superfoods, and he's like really into just holistic good foods.
Mm-hmm.
So he had me on this serious routine of getting up in the morning, you know, having a little bit of oatmeal, having some just fruit, like, then having a nice small lunch, mm-hmm. a small dinner, you know, and then just focus on the cardio and making sure that I was going there every day.
Right.
Now, listen, I just said my good friend, Len, right?
Right.
He's got a wife, dude.
Uh-huh.
She is like a sergeant. The minute she know, like, oh, he's doing a movie. Oh, he's doing a movie with Frank Grillo. She was at the gym yelling at me.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, these guys, I was going to Proactive Fitness, so proactive strength training. Uh-huh. They're on Agora Road right off of Reyes, right? They're out Thousand Oaks.
Right.
And, you know, everyone, all the big athletes go in there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, like, my friends didn't tell me that when they brought me there. Yeah. They're like, oh, we got this great gym and they're our friends, right? And I'm like, because they're friends with everybody, these two. They're, like, just, they're just really good people, so they know everyone, right?
Right.
She's like, oh, you got to go work out with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I go in there and it's the best football players in the world. It's
really?
The best baseball players in the world. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to say names. I don't know if I see. I feel like there's such a personal club. When I went, they brought me right in.
Yeah,
they treated me like I was a pro football
really?
Player. They
wow.
treated me like I was a pro baseball player. Yeah. Yeah, they weren't kidding around.
That's nice.
So for an hour every day, they beat our ass, right?
Mm.
So my friend Len's like, all right, I'm going to go to the gym with you 3 days a week. I'm like, all right, I only got to go 3 days a week. And then his wife goes, I'm going to go with you 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So then I went 6 days a week to the gym here for 4 months. And I got in really good shape here.
Wow.
So Johnny got me big and like
right.
built. And then going there got me, I got really cardio and ripped. And I ate really good food. And so when I showed up for the set, it actually was really hot.
Yeah.
And this is what you never think about, really.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like you'll work on a character. And the good thing about me is that I had this thing for like a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really look at the character as much as I read the movie over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about them all. Because the reality is this movie is about, it was like, you know, we're going to, in a couple of weeks or in a couple of months, we're going to have a scenario where all the planets are lined up, right?
Yeah. Oh, really? For
yeah.
Sure.
We're going to see them.
Like, oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
You're
going
to be able to, in like January, you're going to be able to look out for a month and you're going to be able to see every planet lined up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you, we probably have some visitors on that day, right? But that's what's going on, right? So yeah. I brought that up. So it was.
You're talking about a mall and.
Yeah.
And it was hot. And...
Oh, yeah. So we're making the movie.
Right.
So we're making the movie. And it just got so hot that you don't realize that it's going to affect you.
Mm.
Like, it's going to affect you because everything you're doing is heightened. You're hot as hell. It was 120 degrees.
Wow. Where was it shot out
Puerto
here?
Puerto Rico.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was... It was like sticky and hot, and then it would rain.
Yeah.
Right? You know that wet rain, like that wet, hot rain? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were shooting that, and it was wild because the day that we shot, they had just cleaned it up. It took a while to clean up. It was like a rainstorm the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I show up on set, and the director is Stephen C. Miller. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy's like a, he's like a, an MMA fighter, man, like, but he's like, you know, got the energy. I don't want to say, you don't want to say energy bunny because he's not a bunny, man. This dude's like a badass, like, he's just a, I don't want to call him a demon either because he's such a great guy, but he
right.
is, he's so into what he's doing and he's
really?
Great. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So I get on set, he's like, okay, listen, man. So we're going to go out there. We're going to take a look at the set. You know, Frank, he's changed a couple of lines. He's changed a couple of things. We're going to go out there. We're going to talk about it. We're going to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to lay it down. I'm like, okay, man. So then we go outside and Frank's there. And it's like, it is kind of like a war scene, right?
Yeah.
And he's holding the script.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I walk up, I go, hey, how you doing? He sticks his hand out. I go, hey, how you doing? I said, good. Nice to meet you. Right? So I look at the script. And he's like, all right, look, we're going to change this line, that line, this line. And we're now going to say this. So, yeah, you're going to call me this. I was like,
right.
Okay, buddy. Right. So then I have glasses on, right? Now, do you wear glasses?
Yes.
Okay. So in a hot tropical rain.
Yeah, it would really get in the way.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it gets so foggy and everything.
So I take the glasses off, right?
Right.
And then someone comes over and says, hey, you want me to hold those glasses for you? Mm-hmm. I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But keep them nearby. So that person takes my glasses, and then they leave. And then Frank shows up. He's like, all right, I'm going to change this line. I go, and I look at the script. I go, what line? And that one, I go, can you read it to me? So he reads it to me. So then he walks away. I'm like, what the fuck did he just say? like literally, because now my glasses are gone.
Right.
They just have me learn all these other lines.
Right.
Now you're going to learn this line. I'm like, all right, now I'm feeling my COVID head.
Yeah.
Because for the first time since like COVID, a lot of people would say in COVID that they'd be on an elevator. And if for a second they weren't thinking about, they wouldn't know what building them, why they're in the elevator and where they were going. They'd have to wait for the elevator to open a step out and maybe they'd remember where they were, right? Mm. I was like, wow, man, that's crazy, right? And they said, those are people that are under a lot of pressure. They have to go back to work. They don't want to go back to work. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, here I am at work and I can't remember a line.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
And I knew all my stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
It's hard memorizing all these lines anyway.
Well, it's because they took my script, my glasses, and it was like, oh, I'd not really been put in this type of position before where,
right.
Like, I'm, you know, we're outside the continental U.S. where, you know, we're in a place where you can't just run over to the store and get a pair of glasses, right?
Yeah. It,
like we're out where we were shooting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I got to live with this. So I walk up to Frank. I go, hey, man. He's like, yeah. I go, would you mind telling me those lines? He's like, what? I go, I can't remember them. I go, I can't remember. He looks at me, he goes, you want me to fucking help you? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, okay. So then he goes, all right. So he tells me the lines. Dude, this guy was great.
Yeah.
Tells me, it says exactly what they were like. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
So then I walk off, and then Steven comes over. I mean, it's about to rain again. It's like, all right, get the gun. So then I got this gun. Zach, get over here. Zach, he's like, this is why, another thing about this guy. He's like, all right, listen, man. You know, he's supposed to have like 50 rounds around him. 50 rounds, but I got you an extra 100 rounds. Like, he always got me extra bullets so I could shoot, so I could feel like I was doing this thing, right?
Right, right.
But it was never, ever, ever did you not know that you were in a wolf movie.
Wow. That's pretty cool. You know, the genre is not something that I've seen a lot of. You know what I mean? I remember Werewolf in London and something like that, but I usually don't watch horror films, but I saw the trailer here, a lot of action and scary as hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Very scary.
Now, your character, was it like a main character? I mean, are you like in a lot of scenes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How did you get the role?
Well, I was in that show, City on a Hill.
And, right. Oh yeah, and he said he wanted to be in the movie.
Well, what had happened was I went a little crazy over COVID, and
yeah.
You know, I was over COVID, and I had gone to get my hair cut a couple of times, and I couldn't get my hair cut, so then I started cutting it myself. Right.
Yeah.
So then, I didn't think we were going back to work, so I just decided to do a mohawk.
Okay.
So now I get a mohawk, and I get a call.
Uh-huh.
Right, and it's showtime. Like, okay, man. You're going back to work. And I'm like,
God, I'm not ready.
Well, they didn't ask me for a picture, so I didn't send one, right? Because I was like, I don't know what to say. I showed up, right?
Right.
The costume girls are so great. They just looked at me, they go, they're looking at me. And all of a sudden I hear like, Jimmy Cummings showed up with a mohawk. And they're like, they go, okay. Okay, we'll call it right now. So then next thing you know, they walk me down and this girl was, she was the hairdresser. She's like, listen, man, you know, you got to shave that head, right? So I started laughing. I said, hey, you're the boss. Do whatever you got to do. So they shave my head. Now I got a completely shaved head, flat, wow, like bald head.
Yeah.
And they put a scar across my face because in season two, I'm in jail.
I see.
And man, I'll tell you, it worked. And it was so good. And it worked for the character. And, you know, that working on that show, that first season was incredible. Like working with Kevin Bacon and Aldis Hodge.
Yeah, yeah.
Sharon.
When did that show run?
It started in 2000. Well, we first shot the pilot in 2018, 2019,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we shot in 2020, 2021.
Right.
And then 2000, like because of COVID, the show stopped bringing in actors from L.A. They just stayed within New York City. And
oh, okay.
So it's a show, like it took a big change. You know, the lead writer of the show was Chuck McLean. He just did that movie called The Instigators with Matt Damon and Casey Affleck. I guess him and Casey. Chuck wrote the original screenplay. Casey came in and did some additional work on it. But
gotcha.
And he did this. The guy, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck McLean, who wrote the movie for Instigators, was telling me the movie as we were location scouting City on Hill. So I made the first movie in Boston, where every scene was made in Boston. All this, they all shot in location. That was a movie called Southie.
Mm.
So I met Matt and Ben when they came to Boston to do Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I already lived in New York. They already lived in L.A. We met each other. And
that's some time ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Chuck McLean, who's, I'm telling you, this guy's like the best writer in Hollywood. He's probably one of the smartest guys in Hollywood.
Really?
Wow. He's brilliant, man.
Uh-huh.
He like... He knows what somebody's going to do when they enter a room.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's something else. I've known him since he was, I guess, 19 years old, 20 years old.
Really?
Yeah, I was his mentor. He came to L.A. A friend of mine named Phil the Thrill Barano from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Very well-known guy. Grew up in the city of Boston. We've known each other since we were like 6 years old. He worked with me and I made the movie Southie. But I mean, I was selling a lot of screenplays when I first got to L.A. because I started as a stage actor in New York City.
I see. Is that where you grew up in New York?
I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up in South Boston.
Okay. And then you, at what point did you move to New York?
I moved to New York when I was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a brother who I graduated from college, and I wanted to go to New York to be an actor, and he had gotten a job to work in New York at a company called Heidelberg. It's a printing press company.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, look, we should go together as brothers, and we should rent a place. I was like, yeah. So I was thinking, all right, it's great. We're going to go to New York City. Well, he moved to Queens first, right? Dittmar's Boulevard, Queens, yeah. And I'm glad that we did. Because although Boston is only 212 miles away from New York City, it is like the Wizard of Oz. It's like...
totally different?
Yeah. I would say it's like in Galway. If you're in Ireland, it's like going high, like Boston's like Ireland and New York is like New York. Like
okay.
it's that much of a difference.
Wow.
You know?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So what college did you go to? What university?
Well, I went to one college. I went to a military school. I got in some trouble. When I was 18 years old, I got in some trouble over a summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sent to a military school, mandatory.
Wow.
And it was, I'll tell you, man, I was on 9 months probation. I got kicked out on the nine months in one day. I was kicked out of it. I couldn't handle it. I really learned how to make a bed.
Yeah.
I learned how to clean up my personal space.
Yeah, yeah.
And I learned that I am responsible for myself and the people next to me.
Yeah.
You know, so be kind to everybody, right?
Yeah. That must have been hard. I mean, especially if you were a troublemaker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
You know what it was? I had like, back then when I was a kid, they didn't know what ADD was, right?
Right.
They didn't know what it was. So, like,
yeah.
they just stuck us in a corner. Or they put us out in the auditorium and gave us books to read. Well, we read the books. Right. Yeah. So, when they kicked us out, we read everything. Like, you know, that I was a newspaper boy from when I was 6 years old. Okay. Wow. I read the newspaper every morning.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't know
that. At that age?
Yeah, I didn't know I was learning anything.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, I know that guy. I know the names. Like, oh, there's a name I read before, whatever. But then, see, my father died young. Right. And I worked at the Boston Garden where the Celtics and Bruins played. Mm-hmm. But that's where I met everybody.
Oh.
I met all the guys that would become whoever they would become, you know.
Really?
And yeah, it's because it was they were out there. And that was the big thing, I guess. See, I was there. My father passed away and my mother got me and my two brothers' jobs working at the Boston Garden. And, you know, that was just really so that she wouldn't have to worry about us and we could earn some money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we loved the jobs.
Yeah. So what kind of trouble did you get into? I mean, you got me all curious now.
Oh, well, I mean, you've seen, like, the Warriors, right? Like on...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like that growing up.
Really?
You know?
Just like a street...
Yeah, but, like, back then... You weren't wearing jackets or leather jackets. You were wearing sneakers and certain shirts, and
right.
your hair was a certain way, and
right.
And but I think about it a lot because in my neighborhood there were gangs, right? There were the Kelly's Liquor kids, mm-hmm. there were the Edwards kids, there were the Pizza kids, mm-hmm. there were the Trestle kids, there were the Square kids, Sunnyside Hill kids, Logan Square. So you had right there, I mean, you had Rossville, there's 10 gangs right there.
Wow.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And very rarely could you, as a human being, one person, go to any of those areas without having a problem with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I was the middle child of 7 kids. And
right. This was in the 70s, right?
You yeah, were 70s, 80s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very different, yeah.
Yeah. So you went to that military thing. That must have been tough on you, huh? I mean, to get all this, like, structure and...
It was, yeah.
And discipline and things like
that. It was. And I didn't know I was going to go there either because, like I said, I got arrested on a Wednesday. And the judge is like, you either find a school to go to or you better be in a military service or you're going to do 90 days in jail. And I'm like... So I got arrested 3 times in a month, but it was for... See, one time I was out with my friends, and we were going to the beach, and I didn't have sneakers on in a car, but people were drinking in the car, and we got in a car accident.
Oh.
So when I got out of the car, the cops were there. Like, believe it or not, some of my friends ran. I couldn't run, so I got arrested for drinking in public. So that's the first one.
Yeah.
But then the second one is I was at a party, and I was with my friends, and there was a girl there, man, and I was talking to this girl, and she's like, hey, will you walk me home?
Uh-huh.
So this was like 12 o'clock at night. And I was like, yeah, all right. So we went home, like we're in front of her house. I kissed her for like an hour and then I walked home. Now, my mother was funny. If you weren't home at midnight, she locked the door.
Really?
Yeah, man. I still don't understand
what
why.
What were you supposed to do, sleep outside?
Yeah, but we always climbed through this bathroom window, right? So me and my brothers, like we climbed through the bathroom. We'd go in, we'd take the key.
Right.
If it wasn't a key in the door, then we'd get the bathroom window open. You'd climb in. You'd make no noise, right? You'd get out. Then you'd start to go down the cellar to where me and the boys lived, right?
Wow.
So I'm going down the cellar, and all of a sudden I hear this. I'm like, what's that? And I'm thinking, my friend Sean Scannell, his muffler came off his car the other day, and he's coming down my street. So now I'm going like slow motion up the stairs, trying to get out the door so my mother doesn't hear this car. So when my father passed away, my mother hadn't worked for 20 years. So the state came by and they looked at our house and they said, okay, you know, to my mother, you're not going to be able to have all your kids. We may have to take a couple and give them to... And my mother's like, you're not going to do that. They said, well, you have to make $12,000 a year. How are you going to do that? Well, man, the next day she had me. She went downtown and she had places she wanted to apply. And she applied at one of the hotels. Mm-hmm. And she got in the union. So she was a hotel banquet waitress.
Okay. Okay.
And she made $12,000 a year, dude. Like, wow. She didn't care, right? And she, every day, so she'd get up at, you know, 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning. We'd all get up. She'd have our, like, make sure we made our lunches on our way out to school, make sure we were on time doing our stuff. And she'd go off to work, but she didn't get home till 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So she did 3 shifts a day.
What a tough life. 3 shifts a day.
Yeah.
Wow. And how many kids were you?
7.
7 kids?
Yeah.
Wow. What a responsibility
she did
had to deal with.
Listen to this. Mm-hmm. She's like, if she hears this show, so I can't tell. She's very successful. She said, listen, she's 80 years old.
Uh-huh.
And she's like the godfather, right? But she's like the godmother. Like, she's, you know, she's all about girl power. So she had 7 kids, 5 of them were boys, right?
Right. Wow.
I remember one time my father had passed away. He's been gone for a while. And I'd say that my brothers were, so my older brother was 21 now, and my other brother was 19, and say I was 17, right?
Right.
Because when my father died, my oldest brother was 17, my other brother was 15, I was 12, right?
Oh, wow.
So now, it's a few years later, and we're older, you know, when people pass away, time goes on, and you forget, right?
Right.
But we'd sit around, and, you know, we think we were the guys, right, you know, whatever, right? And it didn't matter, man. My mother ruled that house. Like, she told us what the fuck to do. Like, she never took shit from us. And she always made sure that we were doing something. Mm-hmm. And when I was a little kid, I had told her that I wanted to be an actor. Like, that was my big thing that I really wanted to do when I was, like, you know, 5 or 6 years old or 7 years old. I'm not really sure why, mm-hmm. right? But it was something I really wanted to do. And it seemed like that when my father died, it seemed like that wasn't really a reality anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I became an electrician, and then a master technician, and a carpenter, and a cabinet maker. And
oh, wow.
I did HVAC. I did all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's weird, though. You start doing that when you're 13, 14, 15. And by the time you're 16, you got an idea of how to do it. Then you're 17, you're like, oh, yeah, I know how to do this. Then you're 19. You've done all of it. Like,
right.
There's only so much you can do. And then it's like, okay, well, here's something new, right?
Right.
But when it comes new, it comes with instructions.
Right.
It's not like you're really learning, right? So I got bored, man. I was 20 years old, and I was a top tech for General Electric Company.
Uh-huh.
And I was, you know, I had made... Because GE, remember when General Electric bought RCA? That was
yes.
a big deal because David Letterman, right?
Right.
Well, I watched David Letterman. Uh-huh. So here I am. I had a job at GE.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only 19 years old.
Right.
I remember getting the job. The guy I went in, so I had to take a test, right?
Right.
You have to take this test in Boston. So I take this test. So I go home, and a week goes by, and I get a call. And the guy's like, all right, you have an interview at... like a Maytag, and then I said, oh, okay, and then I get a call, and you're like, they want to meet you at Coca-Cola. I'm like, all right, hey, people want to meet me, right? So then I show up at the GE test, and the guy says, he's like 40 people. He's like, and I'm the last one to interview. He's like, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah. He goes, I'm having trouble. I was like, what's that? He goes, why should I hire you over these guys? I'm like, I don't know. Why should you hire all these guys? Like, well, you scored really high on that test.
Uh-huh.
You cheat on that test? I go,
really?
No, I didn't cheat on the test.
Yeah.
He's like, you didn't cheat on the test. I go, no. He goes, well, he goes, to understand all of this stuff, I mean, you have to have done this job before. I said,
right.
I said, well, I worked at Mr. Butler up the street many times. You know, like, so I just laughed, right? So he goes, well, I'm going to take you out to the shop.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So we're walking out. His name was Ron. His name was Ron. He says, I'm going to take you out to the shop. I said, okay, Ron.
We go
to the shop. And Ron's like, So this guy Jerry's walking over, who I'll get to know. He's like, hey, Jimmy, what's wrong with that refrigerator? I looked at it. I go, I don't know. So then he goes, this is Jerry. I said, hey, Jerry. He goes, Jimmy's going to fix that refrigerator. I go, okay. So I'm standing there. And so Ron goes, well, are you going to go fix it? I go, well, I can't fix it.
Uh-huh.
He goes, oh, you don't know how to do refrigerators? I go, oh, I know how to fix refrigerators. He goes, well, you don't want to fix a refrigerator? I go, well, I can't fix it. He's like, why? I go, it's not plugged in. Right? So, like, that guy Jerry started laughing. He goes, give this guy the job, right? Because, right. I mean, listen, man, you walk in, I don't know, the thing wasn't plugged in. You know what I mean? What do you want to tell you? So, it was funny. So, I was the youngest guy ever to be hired at GE. And I was the first guy to be hired in 20 years.
Wow.
So, obviously, after Vietnam or whatever, they had hired a bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they didn't hire people. For a long time. Now, while I was working there, they sold the buildings. So they were selling and moving into rental spaces. So that's when you knew the beginning of the end of bricks and mortar, right? Like, so the 80s, 90s, really the beginning of the end of bricks and mortar, right? You know, it's like right now, you're in this studio. Mm-hmm. You know, they used to have to build a building just for this.
Yeah.
Just for what you're doing right now. They'd have to build you. There'd have to be a building, right? Yeah. They'd have everything around you. You know,
right.
And, you know, now with technology, we can sit here together and we can have this conversation.
Right, right. When did you start getting into film? When did you realize that's what you wanted to do?
Well, you know, I always knew, when I was little, like I said, we had a pool at our house when we were kids. My father, I had three lives, right? I had the life before my father passed away, and I had the life when my father passed away, then I had the life after. I had a brother who broke his neck. It was surviving that. Wow. But see, they're all these things are very important because all of them at one point made me think, I don't want to be an actor anymore. I don't want to do this. Like when my father died, like I could never think about anything. But then when my brother had broken his neck, it was like, you know what I mean? It was another one of those things. But see, I feel like for me, that it's kind of been a destiny. You know, when I was little, it was the strangest thing ever was I was out in my driveway. And I remember my mother always said, don't look at the sun. Never look at the sun. And it was a really hot day. I looked up at the sun. And I was like, whoa. I put my eyes down, but I was like, whoa. But I could see like credits rolling and I could see my name. I could see my name. Really? So I was like, wow, isn't that weird? So I would go out sometimes and look and see if I could see my name, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I could see my name. So I was like, what does that mean, right? And I'll tell you what it means. So I used to do that. I didn't really think about that much anymore. But then when I had gone to New York, I started studying stage acting. And I was like, shit, maybe I can do this. This shit's pretty good, mm-hmm. right? And so I met Will Arnett. Yeah, him and I were buddies. He was from Canada. Mm-hmm. And we actually, it's kind of, believe it or not, like I'm from Boston, he's from Canada. We actually bonded, right? You know what I mean? Because we're in New York City. It's like, yeah. You know, New York, you really learn about New York.
Yeah.
New York's a cool, cool place. And
yeah.
There are people that are born in New York City. They're never going to leave New York City. They're New Yorkers.
Yeah, I know. I know. They love it. Yeah. People that move there sometimes can't get used to it. And they come back, you know, and they leave. But people that grew up there, you're right. They love that place, you know.
You got to have a mission. You got to know. So when I got there the first time, I didn't make it the first time. When I say didn't make it, so I got to New York. I had met Will. I met a bunch of guys. And just like, you know, swingers or any, like you get together these guys, you go out to these bars, you get drunk, right?
Yeah.
And it's all fun and games. Until you don't have any money.
Yeah.
And what you find out about New York really fast is if you don't know somebody in New York, you're not getting a job in New York.
Really?
It doesn't matter. If you want to be a busboy, you better know someone who lives in New York.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're a busboy in California for 15 years. If you don't know somebody who lives in New York, you're not getting a job.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, because
I never knew that.
And neither did I.
Yeah.
But I always realized that it was always like me. I'd be out there trying to get a job, trying to get a job, trying to get a job. And then I'd sit there, I'd talk to somebody like, oh, yeah, I've been trying to get a job. And yeah. Oh, really? What do you want to do? Well, you know, I'm an actor. I just wanted this. Oh, well, I know this guy. He's owns these tanning salons. He wants to build some. Oh, really? I was a carpenter. I can do. Oh, really? You want to meet the guy? I'm like, yeah. And it's like, see, it's weird. It's like now. I'm now working in New York, mm-hmm. right? I'm a bike messenger in New York. Someone in New York gave me a job.
Right.
Right? And now you're working in New York. you feel like you never want to leave. Like, so you're learning how to be an actor, because I was a terrible actor. I was terrible, right?
Right.
And, but I was going to the movies all, I was going to the movies 5 days a week.
Yeah, wow.
And I knew that I wasn't any good. But I knew I could be.
Yeah, yeah.
I just knew I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. So how did you learn how to act?
So there's a guy named George Loros, and he was in Serpico. Remember Serpico?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's the one who shoots Serpico in the face.
Yeah, with Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also's in, he's in The Sopranos.
Oh,
he
really?
Yeah, he's one of the gangsters who he ends up being an undercover FBI agent, but he's an older guy.
Uh-huh.
He used to be in all like the, whenever you put on like the old Barney Millers or, you know, Kojak or what was the big one out here with James Garner?
Yeah, okay. The Rockford Files.
He's on that a lot.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I'll never forget it. This is how I ended up in his class. I was studying over at Herbert Berghoff studio with Bill Hickey and a few people over there, and you know, it's pretty good. But you know, I had this scene partner who was a girl, and she was like a go-go dancer. And I would go to her house, and I'll never forget it. She lived on 47th and 6th. I'd go up there to rehearse with her, and it was like she had all these cats. But she was like, oh, it's telling me how to act, and it was really bothering me because she wasn't very good. So I was telling my buddy Rob this, who he was in, and we were playing pool. He goes, you know, I got this acting teacher. He's badass. He's like, listen to this. I said, yeah. He goes, this girl, I guess in the beginning of any method acting class, the first hour is where the teacher will give you a sense memory exercise. And you'll always start with sunshine or rain. Something very simple that you can fuck up a lot, right?
Okay.
So he goes, this girl, man, she was all of a sudden went crazy. She was running around the class, and George grabbed her and he smacked her across the face and said, sit back down on your thing. And she went back down, and I was like, holy fuck, that sounds intense, right? Like, so I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I need that, right? But let me go check this out, right? So I went and signed up for the class. And what it was he didn't have any time for bullshit. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't, because she did it later when I was there too. She wasn't having a freak out attack. She was acting.
Really?
Like she was having a freak. And that's okay.
Yeah.
So it's true. See what I just said? She wasn't really.
Yeah.
She was acting, right? So see, George, what I had learned about me is that, you know, I had some trauma as a kid. You have stuff that you go through as a kid. Well, it makes you grow up in that little body of yours.
Yeah.
So you might not actually be ready for the things that you're supposed to be doing at this age.
Right, right.
You may not be a good actor till you're 40, kid, because you're acting like you're 40 now.
Yeah.
So it don't look right.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at you, right? And he, but imagine that. Imagine somebody who can look at you and realize, oh, you got a lot of life experience.
Yeah.
That's not really going to be great for your craft right now because you look like a little boy, you know? And I was like, but he said this to me. And I'm going to tell you, it bothered me.
Yeah.
You know, I got my first 3 jobs I auditioned for.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I never got a job again.
Really?
But it's because I didn't know what I was doing. I bullshitted my way into a role. I would never I would never do it today. I would never do something I'm not going to be right for, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because you have to, you live with that stuff. You live with it. You live with it long after. Long after. Like, people go, what are you thinking about? You'll tell them, like, what's that? That was a big thing in my life. They don't even care. They don't even remember it, right?
Yeah.
Because you remember the dumb things you do.
Yeah. True. Yeah. We just have about 10 minutes left. I wanted to jump back to the movie. The movie is called Werewolves. Tell us a little bit about the plot. What is it generally about? What happens there?
So imagine this. It's like, I'm a Y2K.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, Y2K, right? So this is like, on December 6th, the moon is going to be the closest to the Earth that it ever has been. And if you go outside, it'll look like the moon is like, it's going to be like you can touch it, right?
Right.
So everybody and their mother goes out to look at the moon, and sure enough, it's out. It's a full moon. It's a super moon. But what they don't expect is people to start turning to werewolves. 600,000 people turn into werewolves, and they eat half the people.
Wow. So and this is in this country alone?
This is, oh, it's all over the world.
Oh, okay.
So they don't
600,000.
Yeah. And
so, I mean, who was susceptible to that?
Well, that it's a gene.
Oh,
so
okay.
Everybody, there's this, that's what, see, this is year two. So the first year when the movie starts, it's the second, it's the eve of the full moon.
I see.
So it opens and you're finding out that, you know, Frank Grillo, his character is a serious disease, like a CDC special ops trained and prepared for everything.
I see.
Except for this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was good, man. He was good to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone turns into werewolves. And I saw the trailer. It's pretty scary stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So how long did it take to shoot the movie? Well, you told me from...
It took some time, though. It took, you know, it was like 5 weeks. Like, Steven C. Miller was, he was there forever. He built everything in Puerto Rico. But then there was a huge storm.
Uh-huh.
So we had to come back here. We had to finish at East End Studios. In Pasadena, beautiful, great complex. Mm-hmm. That this is where if you're going to shoot in LA, you want to go to Pat. You want to go there, like
really?
Yeah, it's like it's just far enough out of LA, where like you're in the studio, but if you want to take a break, you can go out. There's no traffic.
Right.
You get some food. It's like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's really great. So we went there, and the reshoots were huge. You know, they just really were.
Yeah,
and it went really good.
Awesome.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't, like, yeah. I saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie and I was like, okay. I just did, like, what I feel like my first real big movie, right?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I don't need to do another one. I'm good.
Right.
I'm like, I'm good. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I was like, this is, if I was going to do a movie and I want to be remembered for doing a movie,
yeah.
I want to be in a movie. Like, Frank Grillo, let me tell you something. That guy works hard.
Really?
Yeah. He works hard. Mm. It's hard to do this.
Yeah.
Because I was a producer on the movie, he didn't know I was a producer on the movie.
Oh, really?
I didn't tell anybody. No, because, you know, I got lucky. I got lucky to produce the movie. A friend of mine who's is a producer and a financer, he was doing one other movie, and I helped him out. He's like, hey, what do you want to do? And, you know, at the time, like I said, this one actor fell out, and I was like, you know, I want to do this movie with Frank Grillo, and he's like, yeah, you know what, that sounds like a good movie, let's do that movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let's do that movie, right? And like I said, when I decided to do it, I wasn't ready. Thank God that it took a while mm-hmm. to get it the way we got it, because I think the day I showed up,
right.
That's I couldn't have got in better shape, and I don't think I wanted to get in better shape.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to, like, I felt the way the character feels in this movie at that time, that's how I felt. I felt trapped. I felt trapped, like, in uh-huh. a routine.
Yeah.
I got trapped because we got delayed. The movie got delayed a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I mean, it's great getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. It is.
Yeah.
But doing it for a couple of years in a row.
Yeah, every single if you enjoy day. Doing what you're doing, of course.
Yeah, but sometimes you like to take like 3 weeks off and not get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But you can't do that when you have a goal, when you have a mission, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was your role in the film?
I play Wolf Killer Cody Walker. So I play Cody Walker. I used to be in a battalion with Frank Grillo. I used to serve under him, mm-hmm. and I have a family, but I've obviously sent my family away for this, and, you know, everybody is really just sandbagging down the houses and fortifying their houses, their properties, and preparing themselves for what's about to come.
Right.
So you don't know what's going to happen. It's like alien.
Right, right. And how do you deal with that? I mean, you can't go and kill all of them, two people, right?
No, man. It was like, but that's the whole thing. That's the movie. What okay. you find out is what goes on is this guy works for the CDC, but his brother's family is where he's at in Puerto Rico. He's chosen to take care of them. But the reality is there aren't many people that can fight these werewolves, and he's one of them.
Right.
He's a special scientist. He's prepared for this, and his sister-in-law is like, you have to go. I mean, everyone's depending on you. So Lou Diamond yeah. Phillips is in this movie, man.
Oh, really?
Lou Diamond yeah. Phillips is awesome in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah, Katrina Law, she's awesome in this movie. Like, to watch it, it's like everyone's perfectly cast, and I'll say right now, there's definitely going to be a sequel because the movie, you know what? Normally you see a movie like this. It's like, yeah, it was all right. Like, but it's like, oh my God, those werewolves. Oh my God, that's scary. Like even me, I jumped a couple of times and
yeah.
I saw it before, man, but I didn't yeah. see it finished.
Right.
So and I've been doing, that's what I mean. I've been doing this for so long. I hate seeing a movie. Like if I'm involved in a movie and I have to work on it, of course I want to see all of it. But if I wasn't involved in it, I don't even want to see the trailers. I like getting my popcorn, my Coke. I like sitting down right before the movie starts.
Right.
And I like to watch the movie.
Not knowing what's going to happen.
Absolutely. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't even care. Right?
Right.
And it happens now. When we went and saw this, I got a popcorn. Mm-hmm. I had a Coke. I had my wife with me. They were doing a screening for Bloody Disgusting was doing this screening. Right. And these guys are great. Right. Place is packed, a little bit of a buzz. Grillo comes out. They love Grillo, obviously. But here's the deal, man. They put that movie on. It was silence, right? I was like, whoa. But then people are screaming, yelling. Like, it was infectious. But even my wife was jumping. I was like, And I've been to, listen, I worked on The Sixth Sense with Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And I remember going to that screening with him, Bruce Willis, like when the girl in the red bathrobe walks by the door and everyone jumps like.
Right.
You know, Blair Witch Project was out the week before. No one jumped like that. Not, you know what I mean? It was like, so I was like, whoa, and that's what this does. So I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, what a great gift to work with such great people. And then when you're done, you're not apologizing for it.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Well, you're definitely an interesting person. You've got a lot behind you. And I'm looking forward to the movie. Everybody check it out. It starts this Friday, which is a couple of days from now. Werewolves. And with James Cummings, of course, and Frank Grillo.
Frank Grillo.
And do you want to give a couple shout-outs to the people that wrote, directed,
yeah.
whatever?
Yeah, Matthew Kennedy wrote the script. Mm-hmm. He did an unbelievable job. Craig Chapman, who this guy's in my corner, man. Like he says to me when I went to the screen as I was walking up the stairs, he's like, hey. I said, yeah, he goes, you're the best bet I ever made. I laughed. I said, all right, man, thanks, bro. Right. But you know, he really was. And it's because like all these people, it's you know, Miles Nistel, who's a producer, you know. There's a girl in this movie, and her name is Lydia Steislinger, right? She plays the girl. She's a teenager. Dude, she's great. Like, that's what it takes. I feel like when you're watching a movie and if you believe that's happening, if that suspension of disbelief happened for you,
right,
then it's over. And it happened for me in this movie, and I think it's going to happen for everybody because you said it. The last American werewolf in London.
Right.
Okay, what the one other one that you might say was okay was Jack Nicholson, right?
Right.
Because it was Jack and Mike Nichols.
Right.
But other than that, you know, you got Joe Manganiello who did True Blood, but that's different.
Right.
Right? That's different. This man, these are werewolves, dude. They are. I'm telling you, I was there.
It's a serious movie. Very cool. Is she the one in the trailer where the werewolf comes behind her? Behind the door in the kitchen or something. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty nice.
Well, I'm going to definitely check it out. You gave me passes, and I'm looking forward to that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. James, where can people find you if they want to follow you?
You want to follow me, you can find me on Facebook. It's James Michael Cummings. On Instagram, it's Get James Michael Cummings 8, I think. But, you know, you just type in www.jamesmichaelcummings.com, and I'm the guy with the white hair.
There you go. Or you just look it up on Google. I'm sure you're going to pop up there. Okay, well, James, thank you so much for joining us. We really enjoyed you. All the best to you. Much success in your continued career. And I hope to see you in a lot more movies.
Yeah, well, I hope so as well. And I hope to come back. You know, there's nothing I love more than talking about movies.
Awesome. Well, you got a chance to do that today.
Oh, thank you. I certainly did.
Of course. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.